thankful to be here with you, saints. And I do desire your prayers. I've been thinking about some of the marks of God's people. And God's true people may not have all these marks yet, but this is the goal. I don't know how old a deer or an elk gets its horns, at what age. I think maybe age 2, more so. But just because it doesn't have the antlers, it doesn't mean that it isn't what it is, right? But the time comes when it does get those antlers. Amen? And the Lord desires for us to reach maturity, and that's what we're going to be talking about, these marks. Just a few of the marks. There are many, many marks. Just a few marks that the Lord laid upon my heart this morning. When there are two opposing teams, they use different kinds of uniforms. It's different colors, different numbers, different names. And even though the teams are intermingling, you can tell who's on the opposing team and then on your team, right? And so the Lord has designed through His Holy Spirit that we be able to recognize one another. And most definitely, one of the marks is the Holy Spirit bearing witness within us that those around us are the children of God. Amen. everything in life has marks. My driver's license, if you hold up your driver's license, it has watermarks in it, things that sparkle, birth certificates, wedding certificates, diplomas. They all have marks that distinguish them from the false and from the true, from being original and from being something that's fake or phony or being counterfeited. One of the marks of God's children is that we recognize what's false to the Holy Spirit and we stay away from it. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 9, "Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." Not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. Even though my wife and I were raised in a non-denominational fellowship, we stayed with it for all these years. We were not carried about to and fro. From age 14 all the way to about 9 years ago, I'm 47 now, we stuck with it because we thought it was the true church and we would not deviate from it. But we're thankful for the day when we started noticing that there were some strange doctrines that were in there that were not connecting with the Word of God. And so we started praying that the Lord would lead us and show us where His true church was after we left that body of believers. And praise the Lord has led us to that group of people. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. I'm so thankful that there were the older ministers, first of all, those that wrote the Bible, the apostles. That's what we always go to. But I'm also thankful that in the 1800s, there were those ministers that the Lord rose up again to bring about a reformation, as we often hear. Not in the doctrine, but a reformation in the heart, in the way people saw the doctrine and understood the teachings of Jesus. And I'm thankful that as a result of that, there were many ministers and saints that wrote books. And before I really ever got to sit down with you saints and study the Word of God with you, and I had a lot of questions, and there were a lot of doctrines that I read as I ordered books from Faith Publishing House. And it helped to answer a lot of questions, and I argued a lot with those books. And I searched all the scriptures, and when I was done, all I could do was say, "It's the truth. I'm going to accept it, and I'm not going to argue against it anymore." Some of you in the ministry would remember me sitting down and questioning you. Some of you might have gotten a little huffy with me. But praise the Lord that the Lord has caused me to no longer be carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. That's one of the marks of God's people, that we are not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. It says in Revelation 18, and verses 1 and 2, And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory too. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues. I'm thankful for that voice that came to me. Through these angels, God's ministers, even if it wasn't written paper. Amen. We did see two families that were witnesses to us, but they were a little shaky in their stand, and it made us doubt. But I'm thankful for these angels that cried out on paper in those books that I read, and they told me, come out of her, my people. Amen. Amen. And aren't you thankful that you have come out of Babylon? Babylon, you God's people know that it stands for the religious world. It stands for fake and phoniness. It stands for nominal Christianity. We're thankful that we've come out. And that's one of the mark of God's true people. That's what marked the Reformation in the 1800s, is that they came out from all different sects. But you know, my wife came out from a sect. My wife and I did. You might think that that's over and it's dead and it's gone. We came out. And there in Juarez, Mexico, where we have preached, there have been several families that have come out of Babylon. One of them is Juan and Brenda Renteria, the minister that we just left preaching there. They've had their struggles, their ups and downs, but he's going to be preaching there on Sunday, and he's going to be preaching there on Tuesday. That's a new, fresh, brand new minister that the Lord has raised up under this Reformation. Praise the Lord. He heard the call, and he came out of Babylon. He spoke in tongues. He spoke in that gibberish thing. We prayed for him, and the Lord set him free. He had a struggle with it. We told him that we can't have you speaking here and going to the altar and praying with the people if you're going to be praying and then all of a sudden start speaking in tongues. And I told him, that's the only thing that's holding us back. You've measured up to everything else. You threw out the TV. You got rid of the TV. You've separated from the world. You've denounced your faith. But you know the Lord helped him. And he said he cast out that spirit himself. Praise the Lord. He came out of Babylon. Praise the Lord. There's a recent sister there. Her name is Sandra. She's only been assisting our services 3 weeks. And when she came to the first service, she said, this is what I've been looking for. And she said, I want the Lord to take up all of every drop of false doctrine out of me, she said. I was like, well, you've only been in 3 meetings. And she's already saying that. She told me just the other day, I want to stop wearing pants and I want to start wearing dresses. We didn't tell her anything about that. Praise the Lord. She saw the way God's people are dressed and she wanted to come out of Babylon. It says in the second epistle of John, right before Revelation, second epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Isn't that clear? If we're new in the faith or weak in the faith, most definitely we should not give ear to false doctrine. Many times my wife and I allow the Jehovah's Witnesses at their home, the Seventh-day Adventists, but we're not weak in the faith, amen? They sometimes run out running because they're so afraid after we get through talking with them, amen? But what it's saying, don't give ear to it and allow it into your heart. Don't give it an audience to it, amen? One mark of God's true people is that we will not, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And a stranger's voice will they not follow. Aren't we thankful that we recognize the voice of the true shepherd? We recognize the true doctrine, and we recognize when it's not right. Amen. Praise the Lord. It says in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11, But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such and one not to eat. That is very interesting, isn't it? We're just reading that we separate ourselves from false doctrine, but here it's saying that for us to even separate ourselves from anybody calling themselves a brother that is doing these things. Another mark of God's true people is that we separate ourselves from anything that displeases the Lord and from anyone that displeases the Lord. Now, many times in our services there in Juarez, Mexico, we have several drunks. Our last service, we had two drunks, and they were both interrupting by talking. And I said, I'm going to give you two chances to not talk. If you keep on talking, we're going to have to take you outside, I told them. You respect the house of the Lord. After we got through speaking, they both came to the altar and kneeled down and repented. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. I don't know if it was sincere or not, but we'll see if it's true. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you know, I don't recommend any of you to go out with a friend that's a drunkard or an extortioner or a fornicator. One mark of God's true people is that we separate ourselves from the world. We, not just our parents telling us, not just our pastor telling us, but we ourselves choose to separate ourselves because we know that it's going to contaminate us. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6:14. Very familiar verses to us, God's true people. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk with them in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. We're in 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Two phrases stand out to us here. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. When I was younger, and I first came, I cried to the Lord when I was age 8. I had a spiritual awakening. I met a 90-year-old black man when I was age 11. I was stealing his grapes. In between that time of age 11 and 14, he gave me the Bible to read, his Bible. I started reading it. I read these verses, and I started separating myself from friends that stole and that did drugs. I also separated myself from my own family. I'm related to several bands that play instruments. They come out on TV and on radio. They're very famous. It's like a country type music in Mexico. It's called música norteña, like ranch type music. And after I gave myself to the Lord and I started reading the Bible, my parents would always go to to Mexico, to the state of Chihuahua, where my grandparents lived. And I knew they were going to go. I was just like 11, age 12, somewhere around there. They were going to go to this dance, and I told them that I would not go with them. I was going to go visit my grandparents, and you might ask, how can you do that at age 12? I was serious about this, and I was going to separate myself from the world. I knew that if I went there, I would have to be with my relatives drinking and dancing, and I just did not want to go. And I didn't go, and they let me stay. Amen? You don't have to be 40 years old to understand this. You can be 12 years old to understand the Word of God. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, and be separate. When I was raised watching TV all my life, from a little baby. When I was growing up, I'd watch it from the morning, watching Captain Kangaroo and all those things. Right before I went to school, and then I'd come back from school and do my homework in front of the TV till midnight, 1 or 2 in the morning. When I read Galatians 5 and all the works of the flesh, murders, adulteries, and fornications, and drunkenness, and all those things that I was watching on TV, the Lord spoke to me. And I decided that I was not going to watch TV anymore. I decided I would not turn it on. But I still had to hear it because our home was very small. My parents owned the TV. But I would sit in the bar opposite to the TV. They'd eat, watch, and I'd turn around. The TV was that way. It was not easy. And when I turned age 17, I promised that age 17, 18, or 19 when I moved out, I can't remember exactly, I was starting to buy my own mobile home. I moved out, and I decided that I would not have a television set. For 2 weeks, it was like an addict getting rid of his addiction. I would walk back and forth. I knew my favorite program was coming on. I had already quit turning it on, but I was still listening to it. I can say from that age, around 18 or 19, until today, since I'm 47, I've never lifted up a TV and brought it through my door, nor rented one. Amen. When we stay in hotels and motels, we don't even turn it on. Amen. Now, am I saying that I'm so holy that I'm not tempted? No. When I walk into Walmart, I get tempted by it when I watch those big screen TVs. Amen. But I've chosen not to have one. I've also chosen not to have a computer. We're not saying computer is wrong, but I'm saying I've chosen not to have it because I don't want to go that direction. Amen. Praise the Lord. Be separate. If I had not separated at that time, I would not be here today. I might be some drunk. I might be in prison. These are things that are going to help us to continue in the Lord and to not be contaminated, to not be carried away. Amen. Praise the Lord. It says in the Epistle of John, right before the book of Revelation, 1st Epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. 17. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Part of abiding forever, we have to continue until we die. We want to abide forever. Amen. And the thing that's going to help us to abide forever is to today set aside those things that our eyes are lusting after. My eyes lusted big time after the TV. And I praise the Lord that the Lord has helped me to die to it. Amen. But as long as I have humanity, I will be tempted by it. That's my weakness. That's why I don't have a computer. It's so easy to slip in that DVD and watch the same movies that I watch on TV. Amen. I'm not condemning anybody. Just so you know that whether you're watching it on TV or watching it on DVD, it's still the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Galatians, right after the book of Corinthians. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. 8. But though ye are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have preached, which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. 9. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. 10. For do I now persuade man or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. All these things that I'm telling you about, this is what the Church of God has always believed, brothers. Always believed it. Praise the Lord. Amen. We don't want to get another gospel. If somebody tries telling you, teaching you the gospel, you say no. This is what they believed in the early Reformation. This is what the early apostles taught in the Word of God. I'm sticking to it. Amen? Praise the Lord. It says in Matthew 7:21, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the one that was our atonement, was pure and holy, gave his life a sacrifice, shed his blood, rose the third day that we could be saved. He said this, Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Doeth the will. Not just saying it. Not just calling out the Lord of, oh, Jesus, I love you. It's Jesus. No, it's doing the will of God. Amen. Amen. 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name or preached or given testimonies in your name? And in thy name have cast out devils and in thy name done many wonderful works. 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. A mark of God's true children. We separate from that that is false. We separate ourselves from that is wrong. We're doers, not just hearers. Amen? Praise the Lord. Another mark of God's true children is that we cover ourselves up. Those of you that have watched television, or that used to watch television, or just drive by and watch the billboards, if they want to sell something, what do? To the women or to the men? They uncover them. And you tend to turn that way, whether you want to or not. Amen? And then you turn back because you say, I don't want to look at that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 3:21. There's a doctrine today that is another gospel. Amen? And it says, it's not new, it's been around a long time, I've heard it all my life, that God only looks upon the heart. Amen? He doesn't look at the outward appearance. They get that from when David was picked out. But it wasn't talking about what he was wearing, it was talking about his stature. Amen? They transfer it to what they're wearing, or to what they don't have on or do have on. It was referring to his body stature, not to what he's wearing. They weren't picking out a king because of what he was wearing or not. It was whether he was strong enough to be with God's people. Amen? A leader. But yet he wasn't. He was just this young lad taking care of sheep. And they take that out of the Old Testament, and they say they believe in saving grace, and they jam it into the New Testament under the saving grace of God, and they say God only looks at the heart, and he doesn't look at the outward appearance. Amen? Well, we have news for them, don't we, brothers and sisters? It says in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, they were innocent like babies running around naked. They didn't know any difference. But as soon as they sinned, they realized they were naked, and they made themselves aprons. They didn't get very. They tried to cover up as much as they could. Amen. That's like a symbolically saying that we can try to cover ourselves with our own works, and we're not. So I'm going to do it, saints. That's right. We must yield and be washed by the blood, right, justified, and go on to sanctification. Amen. It's His work, His covering, not our own filthy rags, that will save us. Amen. They tried to cover their own selves with their own works, and it wasn't enough. But God, what did God do? He tailor-made them clothing. Now, doesn't that distinctly, clearly show us that God cares and cared then, whether they were covered up or not? Just to me. Verse 21. And unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now, if that does not shut that other gospel up and zip its mouth, I believe this does. God does care whether we are covered or not, to the point that He tailor designed them. I can just see God sewing them by hand, the clothing. Amen? Amen? God cares whether we're covered up or not. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It says in Exodus 28 and verse 42. These were instructions under the Old Testament for the Levitical and Aaronic priesthood. We're not under this anymore, saints. We're very clear that Jesus fulfilled the law, nailed it to the cross. We're under the new covenant, under the cross of Calvary, under the blood of Christ. But we're just simply going back to the Old Testament to show that from the beginning, God has cared how we dress or don't dress. In fact, He had special clothing for the priesthood of that day. It says in Exodus 28, verse 42, and thou shalt make them linen breeches. Who's saying this? God Almighty. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. From the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. 43. And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, and they bear not, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him. It's talking about clothing, the outward appearance, to cover their nakedness. It's very clear to me. In Luke chapter 8, 26 in the New Testament, you all remember the Gadarene. Before the devils were cast out, what was his appearance? Naked. After the Lord cast out the demons, what was his appearance? Clothed. It says in Luke chapter 8, verse 26, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. There are many today that are claiming to be Christians, but they have devils. They have the devil of lewdness, sensuality, and nudity. They might be covering a part of their body, but they're uncovering a whole lot of the other part of the body. Parts that they should be covering up. Amen? It says in verse 34, when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Verse 35, and they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were, look, they were cast out already. Devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. I always chuckle inside of me when my wife and I enter into Walmart or some big store. When they see my wife, they go like this. Because they see her covered up from top to bottom. She's covered up here, covered up to here, and the skirt is way down. Amen? And they're like wondering, what planet are you from? Like, every time they go like this. And then they often compliment her. They look, you look so nice. Where did you buy your skirt? Where did you buy your blouse? She goes at the thrift store. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, verse 13. Was our Savior walking around in little shorts? Was he? You know, we don't get too many descriptions in the Bible of what Jesus looked like. But here's one that's very clear. Amen? It says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 13, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of God, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were like white, like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as flame of fire. Isn't that beautiful? He was clothed to the feet. I'm not saying that you women need to wear skirts that drag the floor. No, I'm not saying that. But if it's way too high and it's that close reaching the floor, you might consider making it a little bit longer, sisters. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's the example of our... Jesus left us an example that we should follow his example. Amen? Praise the Lord. I've been grieved lately as I've seen the pictures of the older saints. Brother Hardin Sorrell has put together some writings and sent some pictures of the old saints. And I've seen some of the books that have been published of the older saints, a lot of pictures. They were covered up all the way. I'm up in here. But they were covered up all the way to here. All the way to here, and the skirts were dragging the floor. Those were the saints of the 1800 Reformation. I don't know what has happened. But I've seen a lot of shorter sleeves, shorter dresses, and it does concern me. Do we understand the doctrine is not long dresses and long sleeves? The doctrine is covering your body up. Isn't that? Isn't that what we're talking about? The doctrine is to be as unnaked as you can be. Amen? That's the doctrine. We teach the women in Juarez, Mexico to wear something underneath there a little bit higher. Amen? And if they're so poor, we tell them buy a couple of blouses that are long underneath and you can wear it underneath your short blouses that you have, that you had. Amen? But it doesn't take them long. We buy stuff for them and it doesn't take them long before they're dressing very modestly. Amen? We're not teaching them that the doctrine is long sleeves and long skirts. We're teaching the doctrine is cover up your body. God does not want us to be naked. That's the idea, is it not? Amen? Praise the Lord. It says in Revelation chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. This is talking about spiritually covering ourselves up, but God would not have used this example if he does not believe in covering ourselves up naturally too. Amen? It says in Revelation chapter 3 verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor, blind and naked. They were naked spiritually. They had somehow undressed themselves and set aside the righteousness of Christ, and they were naked spiritually. Verse 18, one of the seven churches of Asia, amen? Laodicea. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent, that the shame of thy nakedness. You know, there's a scripture that says, I will make my arm bare. Amen. I didn't find it today, but it's in the scriptures. Meaning that you can make your arm bare. Amen. You can make your arm naked. Your arm is part of your body, saints. Your legs are part of your body. Are we going to allow those demons, like the Gadarene, to undress us? Or are we going to cast them out and rebuke them and be modest and chaste, saints? Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Another mark of the children of God is that they do not adorn themselves outwardly. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's go to Genesis chapter 35. Genesis 35, verse 2. Again, this is under the Old Testament. We're no longer under the law. But we're just going to show with the Old Testament how that from the beginning, when God's people were wearing adornments, they did wear them. And you'll find the scriptures where they were adorned. But there came the time when they took them off. And you can see in the Word of God that God was not pleased with those adornments. Amen? It says in Genesis 35, verse 2, Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Verse 3. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, and who answered to me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. Verse 4. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hands, or in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. 5. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Part of sanctifying themselves, as they did in the Old Testament, was putting away the gods and then taking off the earrings too. Now these earrings might have been in the shape of gods, we don't know. But notice that in order to be prepared before the Lord, they put away their gods and they took off their earrings. In the Old Testament. Amen? Showing that God's people did have jewelry at one time. And when they took these things away, the people knew who they were and they didn't touch them. They stayed away from them. There was an awe about them, a fear about them. The same way as you, saint women, notice how the women notice that you're different. Amen? And there's an awe about you. They respect you more. They know that you're a holy people. Amen? That we are a holy people. In Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16, this shows us very clearly, as most of you know, God's dislike, disregard, and hatred for outward adornment. God's people, the Jews, were wearing these things. And he said, I'm going to take it away from you. Amen? Way over in the Old Testament. Isaiah 3, verse 16. Moreover, the Lord saith, Because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore, there's a therefore, the Lord will smite. Doesn't sound like a blessing to me. Smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion. We are Zion spiritually today, brothers and sisters. This was blood and flesh and blood Zion. We are, the church of God is Mount Zion. We are the new Zion. We are the new Jerusalem. We are the new Jews. Amen? praise the Lord. The head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. Is this not what he did in Hitler's day? In Hitler's day, when the Jews were punished, I believe it was a punishment. It might not be this exactly, but it sure does seem to fit the bill. They were left naked. They were put in gas chambers. Their head was cut off and shaved. All of their adornments were taken off. Amen? In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments. We're in Isaiah 3:18. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their calls and their round tires like the moon. 19. The chains and the bracelets and the mufflers. the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings. 21. The rings and the nose jewels. And it goes on to mention all kinds of things. Instead of well-set hair, stink, baldness. Amen. When they tell you next time, God only looks at the heart. You pull this out and read it to them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the New Testament. This is what we stand on today, the New Testament. Amen. On this side of the cross of Calvary, under the blood of Christ, under saving grace. All scripture was given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Yes. This applies to us today. Don't let them say, oh, it doesn't really mean that. Amen? The Bible means what it means and it says what it says. Amen? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Amen? That's how we do it, saints. Without wrath and doubting. Verse 9. In like manner, also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly ring, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Amen. When my wife and I were part of that non-denominational faith from childhood, I never wore jewelry, I never put on, I never pierced my ears, I didn't buy my class ring, none of that. But when we did get married, because they had the custom of giving one another, they had the custom of when you become engaged, you didn't give a wedding ring, you gave a watch or something, and that's what I did. But when you got married, you did buy the gold band rings, and they teach plain gold bands. Now, in the light that I stand in today, I can't believe that I even taught that and that I even felt that way. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when my wife and I got married, I went out and bought two little cases with gold rings. And when I was married, I slipped on a ring on her, and she slipped on a plain gold band. It had no design or nothing. But now when I read this today, standing in the light that's brilliantly shining upon me today, amen, it's so clear. Not with broidered hair or gold. What is there about not that we do not understand, saints? Amen? Not is not. Amen? Do not do it. Amen? So way before we came to the saints, we researched some of the Adventists, Jehovah's Witnesses, and all kinds of holiness groups, and apostolics, and all kinds of churches. We ran across two denominations that looked at us, and they said, so y'all believe in modesty? Yes, we do. So you don't believe in that word adorning? We sure don't. And they said, well, except for the gold ring, huh? Well, there was one woman that had the gall to tell us. And I looked at it, and I go, oh, this is not outward adornment. It symbolizes my vow to my wife. I don't believe in outward adornment. She goes, yes, but the Bible says not gold. And I wasn't convinced, but it did make me feel a bit ashamed. Because I had also bought a watch that had gold around it to match the ring. You see, on this side right here. Now I have a plain gold band. Plain watch. But then we came to the Seventh-day Adventists, and they had done a real deep research in it. And they brought out that the wearing of rings in marriage was derived from paganism. And they had the proof and the research to show it. That the Catholic Church came in and they tried to convert other countries. And when they couldn't get them to stop, the Romans had, the Roman gods would marry their god, they would put on a ring to show that they were married to that god, that they were the priestess of the temple. And when the Catholic Church could not convert them, they absorbed, took in this custom of putting on wedding rings during marriage. So now I had two reasons to take it off. One was paganism, which I put away all my idols and I didn't want anything to do with it. I didn't want to be following a pagan custom, especially one that had been set up by the church that I originally left, the Catholic Church. And then it says, not gold ring. So one night, as I was studying this, I told my wife, I can't wear this and be preaching anymore. I told her, I'm sorry, I don't want to offend you, my dear darling. I still love you, but I'm going to put it away. And she goes, I never wanted to wear it anyway, she said. So she took it off, and we've been among the saints now 9 years. That was 11 years ago that we did that. Amen? And praise the Lord. Do it for the right reason, saints.
That's right.
Do it because the Holy Spirit says to do it. Amen? Praise the Lord. amen. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Let's also go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter 3:3. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of a great price. Notice in both places it mentions hair. God does care about hair, saints. Amen. And it mentions clothing. God does care about clothing. And it mentions outward adorning. Amen. Thank the Lord. The word of God is very clear to me. As you all know, the book of Revelation is full of symbols. And one of the symbols for false religion or for Babylon is a woman, a whorish woman, a harlot. And as you all know, look at how she was dressed. It says in Revelation chapter, praise the Lord, Revelation 17 verse 4. And the woman which was, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked, like you deck a Christmas tree, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. The true church is symbolized by a woman clothed by the sun. Natural light, natural beauty. But the false church is symbolized by a woman all decked out and dressed in a worldly way. Amen. Do we, as God's true church, do we want to put this forth? Be arrayed and dressed in this way? I don't think so. And as I look out across and I see you, I'm so thankful that there are still people that believes the word. You don't just say, Lord, Lord, but you're doing it because you believe it. And you believe that these words that Jesus has spoken will judge you on that day of judgment. Amen? Praise the Lord. One of the mark of God's true people is that they do not adorn themselves outwardly. Even the clothing that they buy, they're careful that it does not appear to have shiny stuff in it, things that look like pearls or... Are we careful, saints? Amen. Amen? When you buy your watch, would somebody mistaken it as a bracelet? If it is, I hope you don't love it that much that you're not willing to get rid of it and get something that's more plainer. Amen? Yeah. Let it not be the outward adorning. And your hair, saints. Maybe not the men, but you women. Are you wearing things that others could say, well, she hangs it on her hair, why can't I hang it on my ears? That's right. She puts it on her hair, why can't I put it on my finger? Amen? Yeah. Oh, saints, may we be careful that we not lead others into sin to go away from the Word of God. Amen? By our example. Amen? Another mark of the God's true children is that they trust in the Lord for their healing. Amen? I don't hear anything. Amen. Another mark of God's true children is that they trust in the Lord for their healing. Amen. Amen? Praise the Lord. I can say this without sounding condemning or self-righteous, if you think I am. I had never heard this doctrine before. My wife went to the doctor all her life. Praise the Lord. I didn't really like doctors. I would avoid them as much as I could. I've never been sewed in any way by a doctor, nor cut open by a doctor. Praise the Lord. They might have forgotten something inside of there. Amen? An instrument of some kind, knowing the way things happen to me. But praise the Lord that I never did trust them. And I always wonder why I didn't trust them. I just wanted to just trust the Lord. But we were in a denomination where we were taught that all the signs and wonders and miracles and healing of those days ended when the apostles died. That's what we're taught. And so we never prayed, Lord, heal me from my tonsils. Lord, heal me because I'm blind. Lord, heal me because I have cataracts. Lord, heal me for my high blood pressure. Never would say that. I would just say, Lord, give me strength. Lord, help us. Things like that. But when we left the denomination that we were under and the veil was lifted, I started just reading the Bible for what it was. And everywhere I'd read, I already knew it. It's talked about those that were healed because they had faith and the apostles went out touching people and they were healed. And I could not deny it anymore. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the gift of healing. And I said, when did the Holy Spirit change? Does it say that the gift of healing would only be given out by the Holy Spirit until the year the year 70 or 80. I mean, you know what I mean? It didn't. It doesn't. It just says that one of the works of the Holy Spirit is to give out the gift of healing. Amen? If he's still the same Holy Spirit, there are those that have the gift of healing, but we don't need to have the gift of healing. If you have faith, anybody, whatsoever you shall ask, believing, if we keep his commandments, says in the Epistle of John, we have the petitions that we ask of him. Amen? It says in James chapter 5, verse 14. James 5:14. Is any sick among you? Let him call the physician. No, it doesn't say that. Is any sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church. Oh, but they're not qualified. They didn't go to the doc. They didn't go to the college for that. Did they? And let them pray over him, giving him Pepto-Bismol and Anacin and insulin. Oh, excuse, I'm sorry. I don't have my glasses on. Oh, see, it says, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Brothers and sisters, has our faith been corrupted? Have we left the sincerity of the faith to the point that we feel that we have to go to the doctor now? A man that was taught by man, instead of going to God, that is from eternity to eternity. I'm not condemning anybody if you're going to the doctor. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. Amen? Praise the Lord. I was, even though I didn't take a lot of medicine, when I'd get a headache, I was the first one to go get the Anacin. The first thing I experimented with was not getting Anacin anymore and just trusting the Lord to heal me, and He did. Let's go on to some other verses. One of the marks of God's true people, amen, is that they trust in the Lord for their healing. It's been that way from the beginning. It was mightily and powerfully shown that way in the Reformation. God has always accompanied healing and gifts of healing with those that obey Him. And where there's lack of healing and lack of faith, there's a reason for it. Amen? It says in Isaiah 38, the Old Testament, Isaiah 38 and verse 1. Isaiah is right after Proverbs, Song of Solomon, and then there's Isaiah. Isaiah 38, verse 1. In those days when Hezekiah was sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Notice, God said you're going to die and not live. But what changed God's mind? That he went to the doctor? That he took some kind of man-made chemical? No. Verse 2. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the doctor? Prayed unto the Lord. Verse 3. And said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee how I have walked before thee in truth, and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. 4. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, 5. Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. Do you have faith to believe that he's going to hear your prayer if you're sick? Or in the back of your mind say, if God doesn't hear me, I'm going to go to the doctor. If he doesn't hear me within these 2 weeks, I'm going to the doctor. Or I'm going to take that medicine. Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add. He was going to subtract, but now he's saying, I'm going to add because you were humble, because you believed, because you cried to me. I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and will defend the city. Isn't that beautiful? He cried unto the Lord. Saints, we have the same God. He hasn't changed. If you're being tried by illness, it could be God's trying to teach you something and He's waiting. You might have disobeyed and He's punishing you. He still does it. Or you might not have the faith to be healed. Amen? It could be any of those. Or it could be an illness unto death. It's what God has chosen to give you the exit and the entrance into heaven. Praise the Lord. and nobody's going to take that away. You're going to die that way. Amen? If it's God's will, He chose to have you exit through that illness, you're going to exit through that illness. You just praise the Lord because you're going to be in heaven rejoicing. Amen? Thank the Lord. But if it's the Lord's will to heal you, He will do it. I believe it. I could give you, and I'm going to mention a few of them. This person that did not believe in healing has prayed for many people, and the Lord has sent down His healing virtue and healed them. I've even lost track. Amen? Some that we pray for even forget about, and they're healed. I go, praise the Lord. God is good. Amen? Chronicles. Chronicles is after the book of Kings. And then there's Chronicles. Chronicles chapter 16, verse 12. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. He didn't seek the Lord, but he went to the physicians. 13. And Asa slept with his fathers and died. Whoops. If you somehow think that I'm going to go to the physician hoping that I can live longer, I trust in the Lord, but I'm going to also trust in this physician. Take heed to what this says right here. Yet in his disease he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. Physicians, 13. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 114th year of his reign. And they buried him in his own sepulcher, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed, which was filled with sweet odors and so forth. When I first read this, I went, whoa. Do you know that was in there? You older saints know it's in there, but you younger saints, did you know that was in there? That Asa did not seek God, but he sought the physicians and died. You know, there's no man on here on earth that can keep you alive if God wants to take you. Amen? Praise the Lord. That was 2 Chronicles 16, 12 through 13. let's go to the New Testament. Mark 16. One of the marks of God's two children is that they trust in the Lord for their healing. Now, if you're not trusting in the Lord for your healing, I was one of God's two children, and I didn't. But if you're going to go on to perfection, and you're going to go on to maturity, there's going to have to come the day when you stop trusting the physicians, and you start trusting in the Lord. Amen? We don't want to go backward and reverse and go, I once trusted in God, now I'm going to trust in the physicians. You get out of that reverse and go back forward. Amen? Praise the Lord. It says in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus' precious word. Do you believe Jesus' promises are true or not? Yes. I do. I do. Praise the Lord. Mark 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. 17. And these signs may be, sometimes, part of the time, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. It's not this gibberish. Amen? They did speak in other languages in Acts chapter 2. Amen? A language that other people understood. Amen? This could be referring to spiritual language too. 18. They shall take up serpents. Again, this is spiritual. We will be able to deal with people that are like serpents. Amen. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they probably, sometimes, part of the time, shall recover. No. And they shall recover. Amen. When I read this, I couldn't argue with it anymore. Amen. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. These signs shall follow them that believe. Do you have this faith? Or have you lost it? I hope the Lord is inspiring your faith today. This is the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. There are many people that are trusting in the Pepto-Bismol and this chemical for sleep, that chemical to make them do this. And you know, all the time it's destroying something else, and it's destroying the liver, the kidneys, compromising them. You're taking one thing that isn't even healing you, It's just taking away the symptoms, and meanwhile, it's destroying something else. All of the chemicals do that. Amen? One last verse. Mark chapter 6, verse 56. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities, that was Jesus, wherever he entered, or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. It doesn't say that one was not healed. As many as touched him were made whole. Brothers and sisters, the throne of grace is still there. The king is sitting on the throne with his garment spread out, and he's waiting for you to come down and kneel in faith. And if you only have the faith to only touch the border of his garment, do it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Some of you have heard me tell about shortly after we started believing that the Lord healed, my wife's dad had kidney failure. One of the kidneys was found because he was an alcoholic all his life. We found out they had done the x-ray or whatever, and they had the photo. And so we called him over the phone, asked him if he had faith to believe. He said yes. We prayed that the Lord would heal him. A few days later, the family called us back all excited, saying, guess what? The doctor, before they did whatever they're going to do to him, remove the kidney or I don't know what, they decided to do another x-ray or another picture. And the doctor was shocked because the other kidney was better, in better condition than the other kidney. It's a true story. We're not making it up. And that kidney has continued to function in that drunk man that quit drinking alcohol after we prayed for him. Amen. There was another man there in Juarez, Mexico, that stuttered. We'd see him a lot. He's real. He would walk like this, and all filthy, and he would walk around selling candy, saying, "Buy me some candy," and he'd go around selling it. I would, you know, we'd give him food and we'd give him clothing, and I just finally thought, you know what? If I have faith to believe that God can heal him, God can heal him. So I was inspired by the Lord to pray. I said, I know you stutter. I don't want to offend you, but what if you could stop doing that? Would you like it? He said, yes, you know, in his stuttering voice. And so I told him, are you saved? Have you received the Lord in your heart? He said, no. So we prayed, and he gave his life to the Lord. Secondly, I did this with my saliva. And I told him, stick out your tongue. Following what Jesus did, right? I was inspired by Jesus. And I said to that kid, and I prayed to the Lord to heal him. Well, we didn't see him again for like 3 months because Juarez is 1.3 million people. So we didn't see him. And next time we were sitting in a bus, and this man, well-dressed, no longer bent over, came in like this. I didn't recognize him. We were busy talking. Did you recognize him? I think my wife recognized him and said, that's him. The man that we saw before, and I'm going, oh, no, that's not him. She goes, that's him. No, and he was saying, ladies and gentlemen, I'm selling candies for a living. Who would like to buy some candy? With confidence like this. And I looked at him and I said, it is him. So I walked up and said, what happened? You're not studying anymore. Do you remember when we prayed for you? He goes, I think so. He didn't even hardly remember, you know, that we had prayed for him. And I was curious. I said, what if he was lying to us? So I walked around and I found people that knew him from his childhood. And they said, yes, he had a ligament somewhere in there in his tongue. I guess tanned it down, I don't remember how. And somehow that must have gotten loose. And I said, so I told this person that knew him from his childhood, so who do you think healed him? He says, well, the only one that could do that is God, he said. And I said, praise the Lord, God healed him. Amen? Praise the Lord. There was another man that was in a wheelchair that had broken his hip, couldn't walk. To make a long story short, he's walking now. Amen? We saw him running to us. People that have had diabetes, we prayed for them and the Lord has healed them. Amen? People that have had hip problems and couldn't walk good, they're walking better now. Amen? We don't say this to take the glory for ourselves, because remember, I didn't even believe in it. I thought it handed. I just started practicing what the Bible says. Amen? While we were in Culiacan, just recently in the state of Sinaloa, where the Bells go and where the Huskies have gone for years now, we were there for 9 days recently, and the Lord blessed me to be able to speak God's word there and to pray for many people. We prayed for two people that had dengue, if I'm pronouncing it right. The mosquito bites you, and there's the number one that's not as bad, and number two that's really bad. a young little girl and a young teenage, maybe he's in his 20s now. And we prayed for the young girl. She was sweating and fever. And in 2 days, the Lord healed her. And we prayed for another young man. Sadly, they did go to the doctor. But I believe that if he had not gone to the doctor, they weren't able to do anything for him anyway. That the Lord is the one that would heal them. Amen. Because in a few days, he was walking around like normal. Amen. The Lord still heals. Do we have the faith to believe it? One mark of God's true people is that we trust in the Lord. And we show Him that we trust Him. We show Him honor by going to Him and not to the doctor.